Jonasson slowed his pace when he saw a man with a briefcase leaning on the wrought iron gates outside his apartment building on Hagegaten. He looked somehow familiar.
"Dr. Jonasson," he said.
"Yes?"
"Apologies for bothering you on the street outside your home. It's just that I didn't want to track you down at work, and I do need to talk to you."
"What's this about, and who are you?"
"My name is Blomqvist, Mikael Blomqvist. I'm a journalist, and I work at Millennium Magazine. It's about Lisbeth Salander."
"Oh, now I recognize you. You were the one who called the paramedics. Was it you who put duct tape on her wounds?"
"Yes."
"That was a smart thing to do. But I don't discuss my patients with journalists. You'll have to speak to the PR department at Sahlgrenska like everyone else."
"You misunderstand me. I don't want information, and I'm here in a completely private capacity. You don't have to say a word or give me any information. Quite the opposite. I want to give you some."
Jonasson frowned.
"Please hear me out," Blomqvist said. "I don't go around accosting surgeons on the street, but what I have to tell you is very important. Can I buy you a cup of coffee?"
"Tell me what it's about."
"It's about Lisbeth Salander's future and well-being. I'm a friend."
Jonasson thought that if it had been anyone other than Blomqvist, he would have refused. But Blomqvist was a man in the public eye, and Jonasson couldn't imagine that this would be some sort of monkey business.
"I won't under any circumstances be interviewed, and I won't discuss my patient."
"Perfectly understood," Blomqvist said.
Jonasson accompanied Blomqvist to a nearby cafe.
"So what's this all about?"
he said, when they had gotten their coffee.
"First of all, I'm not going to quote you, or even mention you in anything I write. And as far as I'm concerned, this conversation never took place. That said, I am here to ask you a favour. But I have to explain why, so that you can decide whether you can or you can't do it."
"I don't like the sound of this."
"All I ask is that you hear me out. It's your job to take care of Lisbeth's physical and mental health. As her friend, it's my job to do the same. I can't poke around in her skull and extract bullets, but I have another skill that is as crucial to her welfare."
"Which is?"
"I'm an investigative journalist, and I've found out the truth about what happened to her."
"Okay.
I can tell you in general terms what it's about, and you can come to your own conclusions."
"All right."
"I should also say that Annika Giannini, Lisbeth's lawyer, you've met her, I think, is my sister, and I'm the one paying her to defend Salander."
"I see."
"I can't, obviously, ask Annika to do this favour. She has to keep her conversations with Lisbeth confidential. I assume you've read about Lisbeth in the newspapers."
Jonasson nodded.
"She's been described as psychotic and as a mentally ill lesbian mass murderer. All that is nonsense. Lisbeth Salander is not psychotic. She's probably as sane as you and I, and her sexual preferences are nobody's business."
"If I've understood the matter correctly, there's been some reassessment of the case. Now is this German who's being sought in connection with the murders?"
"Yes. Niedermann is a murderer utterly without conscience. But Lisbeth has enemies. Big, nasty enemies. Some of them are in the security police."
Jonasson looked at Blomqvist in astonishment.
"When Lisbeth was 12, she was put in a children's psychiatric clinic in Uppsala. Why? Because she had stirred up a secret that Seppo was trying at any price to keep a lid on. Her father, Alexander Zalichenko, otherwise known as Carl Axel Bodin, who was murdered in your hospital, was a Soviet defector, a spy, a relic from the Cold War. He also beat up Lisbeth's mother year after year. When Lisbeth was 12, she struck back and tried to kill him with a Molotov cocktail. That was why she was locked up."
"I don't understand. If she tried to kill her father, then surely there was good reason for taking her in for psychiatric treatment."
"The story I'm going to publish is that Seppo knew that Zalichenko was abusive. The beating that provoked Lisbeth's attack put her mother in a nursing home for the rest of her life. But they chose to protect him because he was a source of valuable information, so they faked a diagnosis to make sure that Lisbeth was committed."
Jonasson looked so sceptical that Blomqvist had to laugh.
"I can document every detail, and I'm going to write a full account in time for Lisbeth's trial. Believe me, it's going to cause an uproar."
"Go on."
"I'm going to expose two doctors who were errand boys for Seppo and who helped bury Lisbeth in the asylum. I'm going to hang them out to dry. One of them is a well-known and respected person."
If a doctor was mixed up in something like this, it's a blot on the entire profession.
I don't believe in collective guilt. It concerns only those directly involved. The same is true of SEPO. I don't doubt that there are excellent people working in SEPO. This is about a small group of conspirators. When Lisbeth was 18, they tried to institutionalize her again. This time they failed, and she was instead put under guardianship. In the trial, whenever it is, they're once again going to try to throw as much shit at her as they can. I, or rather my sister Annika, will fight to see that she is acquitted and that her declaration of incompetence is revoked.
I see.
But she needs ammunition. So that's the background for this tactic. I should probably also mention that there are some individuals in the police force who are actually on Lisbeth's side in all this, but not the prosecutor who brought the charges against her. In short, Lisbeth needs help before the trial.
I'm no lawyer.
No, but you're Lisbeth's doctor, and you have access to her.
Jonasson's eyes narrowed.
What I'm thinking of asking you is unethical, and might also be illegal.
Indeed.
But morally, it's the right thing to do. Her constitutional rights are being violated by the very people who ought to be protecting her. Let me give you an example. Lisbeth is not allowed to have visitors, and she can't read newspapers or communicate with the outside world. The prosecutor has also pushed through a prohibition of disclosure for her lawyer. Annika has obeyed the rules. However, the prosecutor himself is the primary source of leaks to the reporters who keep writing all the shit about Lisbeth.
Really?
This story, for example. Blomqvist held up a week-old evening newspaper. A source within the investigation claims that Lisbeth is non compos mentis, which prompted the newspaper to speculate about her mental state.
I read the article. It's nonsense.
So you don't think she's crazy?
I won't comment on that. But I do know that no psychiatric evaluations have been done. Accordingly, the article is nonsense.
I can prove that the person who leaked this information is a police officer named Hans Faster. He works for Prosecutor Ekström. Ekström is going to insist that the trial take place behind closed doors, so that no outsider can examine or evaluate the evidence against Lisbeth. But what's worse, because the prosecutor has isolated Lisbeth, she won't be able to do the research she needs to prepare her defence.
Isn't that supposed to be done by her lawyer?
As you must have gathered by now, Lisbeth is an extraordinary person. She has secrets I happen to know about but can't reveal to my sister. But Lisbeth should be able to choose whether she wants to make use of them in her trial.
I see.
And in order to do that, she needs this.
Blomqvist laid Salander's Palm Tungsten T3 handheld computer and a battery charger on the table between them.
This is the most important weapon Lisbeth has in her arsenal. She has to have it.
Jonasson looked suspiciously at the palm.
Why not give it to her lawyer? Because Lisbeth is the only one who knows how to get at the evidence.
Jonasson sat for a while, still not touching the computer.
Let me tell you one or two things about Dr. Peter Teleborian, Blomqvist said, taking a folder from his briefcase.